Morning, and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study Bible, the whole Bible, the Bible's on way, and we are excited for another day of grace and the day in which Lord Jesus Christ is long-suffering, and one of these days, he's not going to be so long-suffering. When he takes us out of here, he's coming back and with his program that he's going to take over this earth, and he's going to use Israel, but right now he's using the body of Christ and the dispensation of grace, and that's what we teach here. We teach the Word of God rightly divided. And once again, you know, you either wrongly divide it, or you don't divide it at all, or you rightly divide it. And we choose to rightly divide the word of truth, as God says. But we're going to sing a song this morning, Because He Lives. Number six. We'll sing. You know, there's people out there I talk to on the Facebook world. They think he's a myth. Your God's a myth. God's a myth. I said, which God? And they said, exactly. That was the reply. I said, you know, there's many gods out there, but there's only one God of the Bible and God the Creator. And we just got to think about those things that, you know, He does live. And without that resurrection, where's life? It'd be vain belief, right? So we are thankful that we have God the Father sent His Son, God the Son, and He died for you and I. And that's what we believe. And that today, in lesson 8, as we continue our contrast to God's Word, we're going to look at the central gospel is of the gospel of the kingdom, and the central gospel for the mystery program is the gospel of the grace of God. Be turning to Matthew chapter 3. Kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. Prophecy, prophecy, prophecy. As I was sharing this morning, as I was coming up the main drag here, churches after churches after churches full of people. And a lot of them just gospel of the kingdom. You know, that's what they believe, the gospel of the kingdom. And then they will add a little bit of this, you got to do this, and a little bit of that, you got to do that. And, you know, and everybody just buys into what they want to believe. I do believe this. If you can believe that your feelings, if you let your feelings and emotionals run your spiritual life, you're in a world of hurt. You're in a world of hurt. Now, it's okay to have emotions, right? It really is. But you got to think about the thing. Where did I say to go? Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, the central gospel of the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." Now, what's the last book of the Old Testament that's down that we have in our possession? What is it? Malachi. And what's the first book in the so-called New Testament? What's the first book in the so-called? Okay. In between, you know how many years there was in between? 400 years. So all of a sudden, John the Baptist comes on the scene as prophesied in Isaiah. 400 years of silence. So me and my son was talking the other day about the King James Bible. He goes, "I just don't understand how this one guy put this Bible together." Well, he didn't. He authorized it. And I shared with the many things. I said, "What about these other books?" Well, those other books was written, the book of Enoch, all that stuff, was written during that 400 years of silence. So God didn't speak. If God didn't speak to somebody, it didn't get in this book. You with me? I think many of you understand that. But all of a sudden, here comes John the Baptist. What is he saying? "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand." Go to chapter 4. So the central gospel of this gospel of the kingdom is going to be repent, and for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Chapter 4. Verse 17. Verse 12 says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into the prison, he departed into where? Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast and the borders of Zebulun and was it Nephthalim? And so he's going down through there. And he goes, verse 17, from that time, what time was that? That time when he's out there, he's heard John's in prison. So is John continuing the gospel of the kingdom right now?
Yeah.
He is. He's in prison. He's not out there preaching, repent, and be baptized. So what was verse 17? For the time, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. Jesus begins to preach. And he does that, before I go any further, well, hold your finger there and go to chapter 16 right quick. From chapter 4, verse 17, to Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it says, from that time forth, began Jesus to show his disciples that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. So from chapter 4 all the way over here, what's Jesus Christ preaching? Kingdom program, the kingdom gospel. John the Baptist preached it. Jesus Christ preached it. Go back to Matthew 4. And what is this? He shows in verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. And whose synagogues? In whose synagogues? Now let's go back for a minute. Look at verse 18. And Jesus walking in by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon and called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway left their nets and followed them. And going on thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately left their ships and their fathers and followed them. And Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching in what? Who's there? Now, let me ask you something. Where was the 12 disciples from?
Galilee.
So where would he go?
Galilee.
Who did he call? Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there is the people he just called. Peter, Simon, so he's going to Galilee, all of Galilee. He's going to their synagogues that they came out of. Now, what a great way to do that. If you're going to convince the people's families and you got a teacher, come where I live. Come to my synagogue. But look, he says, and Jesus went all of Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manners of sickness and all manners of disease among the what? People. So he goes to their synagogues, he's teaching them, he's healing them, and he's teaching what gospel is he teaching? The kingdom gospel. I just saw that last night. I don't know if you ever thought about that there. Now you could refer them to the Israel, right? You could refer to a certain group of people, but he just named the people that followed him. And then verse 24 says, and his fame went out throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers disease and torments, and those which were possessed with the devils, and those which were lunatics, and those that had the palsy, and he what? Healed them. And there they followed him, great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond. He's getting a following there. What did they bring him for? The gospel of the kingdom. What did he say? Heal all manners of sickness. Go to chapter 9. Matthew 9. Verse 35 says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." There it is again. There, he's in those cities. And those cities, who did he come for again? Go to chapter 10. Chapter 10. We go over this all the time. Great chapter. And when, verse 1, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them powers against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal some manners of sickness and a few manners of diseases." Is that what it says? All. You should have that circled in your Bible. All. "Now the names of the 12 apostles are these," and he names them. Go to verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, saying, The kingdom of heaven is what?" So what are they going to do? What are they going to preach? A kingdom of the gospel. The gospel of kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. By the way, if I'm not mistaken, that's the only time you see kingdom of heaven in the four accounts of earthly ministry is in Matthew. What are they supposed to do? Pray heaven to come to earth, right? So the kingdom on earth. So that here they go out. Go to chapter 24. Chapter 24. Verse 3 says, "And he, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what sign shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So they're concerned. They're hearing these things. And you got to remember, from chapter 16, verse 21 forward, he's going to start talking about he's got to go to Jerusalem and die. They don't want to hear that, right? "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man shall deceive you. And many shall come in my name, and saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And he goes on down through there, verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for thy name's sake. And he says, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved." Who's he talking to here? But what name them particular? Name them. Who is he talking to there, though? Who?
Jewish apostles.
But what do we call them? What is it? The little flock. The little flock. And in that tribulation period, they're gonna have to endure to be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for the witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So what gospel is going to be preached? The gospel of the kingdom. Now, you know the contrast to that one. Paul talks about in Colossians chapter 1 that this gospel is preached to all creatures under heaven. Why ain't the end come? You remember? Hold your finger there. That's the answer. Bingo. The answer. Go to Colossians 1 right quick. Well, let's not do that. Let's keep moving on. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 9. Verse 1 says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal what? Sick. So what's a part of the kingdom program? Go to, what is it? Healing. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 1 says, And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do what? Hear and what? See. Who requires a sign? Is it a spiritual sign that they don't look for, or is it a real sign? It's a real sign. Jews require a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. That's what Paul talks about. You know the first signs in the Bible. When Moses stuck his hand in his thing, it came out withered. Pulled back out like a baby hand. They laid down the staff, turned into a snake, right? Come back up. And ever since then, pillar smoke. The fire, that type of thing. They always required a sign from God. And then they didn't get one. What did they think what God was? He forgot about them. So he says, what ye do hear and see, the blind receive their sight. Now, is this going to happen? The blind receive their sight. The lame walked. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, if that ain't a kingdom gospel, now you know 90% of people out there today, Christendom, in a denomination, that's what they preach, and that's what they believe. But is God doing that today? But the central gospel has to do with healing. Why would Jesus Christ want to heal somebody if the kingdom's at hand? Amen. You walk in that kingdom whole, you ain't going to have nothing wrong with you. And it's sad that people makes money off of that. And they got people convinced selling everything they got and turning it over to somebody for sicknesses. Now, how do I say this? I think there's a cure for anything out there. Death would definitely cure a lot of stuff. It really would. Death, where's the sting at? You know, Many of us got some, things going on in our bodies. We let Lord come quickly. The rapture is going to give us a new body and stuff. But what's so healing to be done there? That's what that program is all about. They got to be. It's part of that program. Now you probably don't know anybody that's in that program today, and you know that type of thing. But the medical bills will continue to rise and all that. I'm saying that not to be ugly, but it's truthfully. And they still got faith. They're not, the faith's not withered. A lot of disappointed people. And that's why people just throws the Bible on the side and say, I'm done. And you talk to people and they're so bitter at God. They let my mom die. They let my dad die. And you're like, there's an answer. We live in a sin-cursed world. On the contrast side, go to Acts chapter 20. Now you're looking at, now what we just went through, the central gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, was in the prophetic program. John the Baptist preached the kingdom of heaven as a hand. Lord Jesus Christ preached the kingdom of heaven as a hand. The 12 disciples, as we read, preached the kingdom as a hand. He died, was buried, and rose again. He comes back. Did they preach the kingdom of heaven as a hand in Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Did they preach the kingdom of hand in Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? They preached the kingdom is offered. Now it's no longer at hand. He's gone. Now it's being offered to them. Say, listen, if you want to get in this little flock, if you want to get in this kingdom program, this is what you have to do. That's what Acts chapter 2 is about. Acts chapter 3, he preaching to them what, and they said, if you look at Acts chapter 2 when he says, repent and be baptized for remission, what must we do? Well, hold your finger under there. Let's look at this right quick. Acts chapter 2, verse 22, ye men of Israel. So who's there? All of us Gentiles, right? Were there at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? What's the big deal about Pentecost? It's 40 days after what?
Resurrection.
After Passover. This is nothing new. They've been having Passover and Pentecost ever since they came out of Egypt. So he's standing up there with Israel. Who would come into Jerusalem for Passover? Who was required, no matter where you lived, you're supposed to go to Jerusalem for Passover? And you stayed there until this is over with, Pentecostal. And ye men of Israel, hear these words of Jesus of Nazareth. And he goes, he says, a man approved of God among you with miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. He did exactly what God the Father told him to do. He exactly did what in front of those Jews, everything, who requires a sign? And Peter goes through the whole thing. He goes to Abraham, David, all this stuff. Then he gets down there, verse 37. Now when they heard this, what did they hear? Exactly the same thing Peter just told them. They were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "What men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved?" Right? It don't say anything about what shall we do to be saved. People say that though. People say this is the gospel. This is what you got to do. It don't say that. He just told them what to do. Then he says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So he's offering that to them now. Chapter 3, right quick. He basically says the same thing. Look at verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of who? Israel. Why marvel ye at this? Because he just healed a lame man. Now what's the kingdom gospel? That guy's on the steps asking for money. Peter walks by and says, I have no silver and gold, have I none. I stand up and walk. The man didn't ask to be healed. He asked him for money. So he got healed. He's walking. And they said, why marvel at this? And he goes on down there and talks about Abraham, the Prince of Life, and all that. And he's, verse 17, and now, brethren, I wrought that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. So he took a man, he took a murder indictment that Peter was saying, you with wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory. Murder, murder, murderers. And now he takes, says that you did it what? Ignorantly. He changed the conviction a little bit, indictment. By those things which God before has shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he had fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come and from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus before which before was preached unto you, whose the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. That ain't nothing new. Everybody says, well, the mystery is that he's died and buried and rose again. No. That's a prophetic program. He's going to come and die. But what Peter doing right now, he said, hey, it's offered to you. The kingdom is offered. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, chapter 3, verses 19 to 20 that we just read. So they had a year to get it right. Now go to Acts chapter 20. Now the contrast here. So the kingdom at hand. Well, you remember the kingdom prophesied back there in David. Kingdom's at hand in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom offered in the first part of Acts. Now we talk about the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of the grace of God. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 17 says, and from Miletus, thank you. He sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly from house to house. That's the work of the ministry, by the way. You teach, you show them, that type of thing. Testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. Verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. This is what Paul was told to preach. The gospel of the grace of God. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live, what? By faith. You know what Habakkuk says? And he's supposedly quoting this. This quote comes from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Habakkuk says, the just shall live by his faith. Paul is saying, the just shall live by faith. Of who? Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ. Chapter 3. Chapter 3. Verse 23. We looked at this several times. Verse 21, chapter 3, verse 21 says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested by the witnessing by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, with whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of what? Of God." Death, burial, and resurrection. It's God's faith that central gospel, the grace of God. It's the gospel of Christ that matters. It's gospel of God. There's all kinds of gospels over there. We've been through that already. Ephesians chapter 3. You know what joy one can have in just understanding this? It's not complicated. We make it complicated, don't we? If you think about it. Oh, it just can't be right. It just can't, you know, it just ain't right. But when you know what your authority is and you know where you can get authority, I honestly believe that people are searching out there for truth. And they just give up. And I have to remember what Brother Matt told me once. You know, before the flood, people was rejecting God. You know that? You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, they was rejecting God. When God come back, when they go back, they're going to be rejecting God. So you got to keep that in mind, like, how much longer is this long-suffering of God, the Father, is going to suffer until he comes, takes us out of here? You ever thought about that? You know, I used to think, well, maybe waiting on the last Gentile to be saved. What if the last Gentile rejects God? In the past, it's been wrath poured out. So we should thank God that it's long-suffering. Chapter Ephesians 3. "For this cause I, Paul," verse 1, "the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs." And a lot of Bible versions says with Israel. They add that. But it don't say that, does it? It says that the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me, the effectual working of his power." Paul, according to that verse right there, he's the grace giver. Who's the law giver that we know of? And you know, people will follow Moses before they follow Paul, even today. So when you think about the gospel, the grace of God, this is something brand new out there from Paul to now. And people need to see that and understand that God is long-suffering. Now, you know the difference between, be turning to Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 5. There's a difference between the dispensation of grace and acts of grace. Okay? A lot of people say, oh, it's been grace, grace, grace. Yeah, there's been grace, but never an age of grace. We have the dispensation of promise. We have the dispensation of law. We have the dispensation of grace. We have the dispensation of the kingdom. We have the dispensation of the fullness of time. When it's all fulfilled out there, the dispensation of the fullness of times, ages to come. It ain't going to stop. But the dispensation that God is doing, we're in the dispensation of grace. We're not in any other dispensation. So what God is showing in the dispensation of grace is long-suffering. He's suffering long. He's not healing people according to that kingdom program. I know it might be hard for some people to understand. You know, I get prayer requests all the time that only God can make the intervention here. That type of thing. And I've run a lot of people off, not meaning so, but that's between you and God, okay, and His Word. Don't be mad at me. But the thing is, God, if God's long-suffering and He's not imputing trespasses and sins to you, then something's different than the kingdom of heaven at hand. Go and heal. Go and do this. Go to, where did I say to go? Fine. But a dispensation grace, what also you got? You got the free will. God's never take your free will away. And you choose what you believe. You know, I told my son the other day, I said, if Easy Rider magazine's your Bible, it ain't going to say the same things mine is. But you're going to be judged out of this one. And and that great white throne of judgment over there, it's for sinners and non-believers. And it says He opens up the books. And you know what those books are? Now, I share this with people all the time. Maybe you can follow me. I hope you can. But if you die in a dispensation of grace unsaved, you're going over to be judged. Everybody's going to be judged. Would He open up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and say, you with me? He wouldn't say, okay, Matthew, why didn't you follow Matthew? He told, and Mark, Luke, and John, why didn't you follow the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? He wouldn't say that if he died in dispensation of grace of God. He'd open up Romans through Philemon. And you're like, you can't say nothing. You know? That's right. It's what you hear, what you saved, and what dispensation. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been known to be wrong time too, but those books are open up. And He's judged you by those books. Where did I say to go? Mark chapter 5 right quick. Mark chapter 5. Matthew, Mark. You got the dispensing of grace and you got acts of grace. What did they say about Noah? Found grace in the eyes of the Lord, didn't he? So Noah must have believed that he was long-suffering. What did we find out about Noah? When Methuselah died, the long-suffering was over. Wrath was coming. And it took him 120 years to build that ark. And can you imagine, if you build an ark today, we used to say, nobody's building an ark today. Guess what they built down there in Kentucky?
It's air conditioned. I didn't know
that. I've never been there. I'd like to visit it one day. Maybe I will. Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 21. Mark 5:21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. Was it Jairus? By name, and when he saw Him, he fell at His feet, and besought Him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed Him and thronged Him. And a certain woman which had an issue with blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of the many physicians. Imagine that. That don't go on today. And had spent all that she had had, and was nothing better, but rather grew what? Guys, that goes on today. I hate to say it, but it goes on today. She gave everything to them physicians and got worse. It's kind of sad. It makes me, it kind of makes me sad. When she had heard of Jesus, came to in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that he had done this thing. But when the woman, fearing the trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. That's an act of grace, what the Lord did. An act of grace. Chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many hearing him was astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which he is given unto him, that even such mighty works was wrought by his hand? Listen, where's he at right now? But not only home, but where's he at? Synagogue. He's in the synagogue. Shouldn't he have known by reading the scriptures that there's somebody's coming and they got mighty works like this? Verse 3, is not this the carpenter?
It's a local boy.
The son of who?
Joseph.
Mary? Son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simeon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Now, wait a minute. Have you ever heard that Mary remained a virgin? Religion teaches that. Now, she remained a virgin after giving Jesus Christ. How did she have all these kids? So, you know, I think there's a festival or Assumption going on right now?
Yeah,
I saw that in Cleveland. I'm like, Little Italy, I like to be there right now, eating the food and stuff. But Assumption, and they had some show we was watching last night, news show. Apparently this guy was, he had this coat on. It looked like Mary, and looked like, I'm like, and he's talking about politics, you know, and I'm thinking, why is he wearing that? And it dawned on me, it's probably that festival type of thing. But listen, Lord Jesus Christ had brothers. He knew what it meant to be a brother. He knew what it meant to be a bigger brother. He knew, I bet you anything, he knew what it meant to change a diaper. Verse 5. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and his own house. Verse 5. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and what? He couldn't do anything else. He couldn't convince them that he's the Messiah. He couldn't convince them that he's God's son. He couldn't convince them, but what? Saved a few sick folk. Look at the next verse. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about in the village teaching. He healed those people without faith. So you can't tell me you got to have faith for God to do this. He just healed these people because he could do, what does it say? And he could there do no mighty work, save that his he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Didn't we read that over in chapter 3 in Acts? Alms. And he healed the guy, Peter now. So when you think about the difference between the acts of grace and the dispensation of grace, you got to keep that in mind. Today, God's long-suffering. And there's going to be a day when he's no longer going to be long-suffering. And the central gospel in the mystery program, the dispensation of grace, is the gospel of the grace of God. The good news of God is what he's doing. And the central gospel of that is the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and he rose again. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things to give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's see if I can do this.